This morning, I'm going to begin a new sermon series entitled Prayer, Care, Share. And it's very fitting. We just heard that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. But let's be honest here. You know, you're singing a song, or at least they sing a song for us. Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's a long time to pray. You think about it. A sweet hour of prayer. I think many of us in here would think, an hour? Pray in an hour? I mean, that's a long time. And I'm not going to poll you and ask you, so how many of y'all pray an hour every day? You know, sweet hour of prayer. And so you think, wow, that's maybe my prayer life is not as vibrant as it should be. You know, and I think that's one of those things for Christians. There's a few things that we're always feel like we're lacking. For example, you know, have you ever heard a Christian say this to answer this question this way? You know, are you praying enough? You ever heard somebody say, yeah, you know, I've prayed. I think I prayed too much this week. Too much prayer. I've read my Bible too much, and I'm sharing the gospel way too much, and I'm giving way too much. I need to pull it all back. No, we never say that because this is a struggle for us. You know, it's a struggle to pull away from the busyness of life and all the concerns, and we get so distracted and spend time focused specifically in prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I'm hoping I'm going to give you a challenge that's going to maybe help you in your daily time of prayer with the Lord. And so we're going to start a new sermon series this morning called Prayer, Care, Share. It's just easy to remember. I'm not the first one to give this title to this type of message, but I think it is kind of catchy. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at each of those. This morning, we're going to look at prayer. And then the next week, we'll look at how do we care for people. And then finally, we're going to look at how do we share the gospel with people. This is going to be a very practical, extremely practical sermon series for all of us. And I'm hoping that it's going to challenge us in our faith and stretch us a little bit and motivate us even maybe to take a step of faith, maybe get out of our comfort zone just a bit. And I believe that if we're willing to take these steps of faith, that God will use us. He will actually use us in the lives of the people in our city. And so we may even see people as a result of this sermon series and putting it into practice. I mean, we may even see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We may even see people join us here for worship at the Hill Baptist Church as a result of your steps of faith. But I do believe we'll see God show up in some neat ways as we step out in faith and try to enter into the lives of the people around us in our city and look to minister to them. So the order of this sermon series is very intentional. You know, we're going to begin with prayer and then move to tangible ways to care for those around us and bless those, and then finally share the gospel with people. And the reason we're starting with prayer is because maybe you've heard this saying before that we should talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. And so that's why we're going to start with prayer. We're going to start praying for people and then look for ways to talk to those people about God. You know, when you look at the Bible and you read through the scripture, you realize there are several types of prayer and occasions to pray. And so this morning I want to look at two types of prayer that we find in the scripture. One type of prayer that we find in the scripture is prayer for those who don't know Christ. And the second type of prayer we find in the scripture is prayer for those who do know Christ. And so I want to show you both of these types of prayer in the scripture. The first type of prayer is for those who don't know Christ. And so to unpack that type of prayer, praying for those who don't know Christ, I want to give you two examples that we find in the scripture. One example of someone praying this type of prayer is Jesus himself. I want to start by looking at the Old Testament. So if you turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 12, this is Isaiah's prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. And this is what he says about the one who will come. And he's speaking about Jesus in this passage. Isaiah 53, 12. Says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And so this is a passage of prophecy pointing to the one that God would send that would ultimately deliver us from our sins. And he says, this one that will come, this Messiah, he will not only bear the sin of many, but he will make intercession for the transgressors. In other words, he's going to pray for those who are in sin. He's going to pray for those who would initially reject him, that they would actually accept him and embrace him by faith. And we see this prophecy fulfilled actually in Luke chapter 23. And so if you look over to Luke chapter 23, we actually see Jesus doing this very thing, praying for those who do not believe in him. So Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. We read, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments." Going back up to verse 33, just to give you some context, it says, And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so even on the cross, Jesus is praying for those who are not embracing him. They're crucifying. And so we see one example here of Jesus praying for those who do not believe in him. Another example of this type of prayer is found in the book of Romans. So if you look at Romans chapter 10, we see an example from the Apostle Paul. And as you turn there, I just want to give you a little context for Romans 10. You know, Paul's been talking about, like in Romans 9, he's been talking about the mercy of God and how God displays his mercy to people, not because they deserve it or earn it, but simply because of his own choice. And so that's the context that this is coming out of. And then he writes about how Jesus has been embraced by faith, by those who are not Jewish. But among the Jewish people, many have rejected him. Have rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And he says that among the Jewish people, Jesus has actually become a stumbling block, and many had refused to receive the righteousness of God by faith, but rather they sought to obtain a righteousness of their own. And so this reality led Paul, who was Jewish, to write Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And this is what he says. He says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." So Paul's looking at those who share his ancestry, his heritage, his culture, and he's saying, you know, they're trying to obtain a righteousness of their own. They're rejecting Jesus, the Messiah, but I'm praying that they would be saved. So he's praying for those who don't know Christ, that they would come to know Christ. And so later on this morning, I'm going to challenge you to make that one of your prayers this week. Think about someone who doesn't know Christ and begin to pray for them that they would come to know Christ. So that's the first type of prayer, praying for those who don't know Christ. Second type of prayer I want to share with you is praying for Christians, praying for other Christians. And I want to give you two types of this type of prayer. One, or two examples of this type of prayer. First one is found in John 17, and this is Jesus praying to the Father. In John 17, verses 15 through 21, this is what we read. Jesus is praying, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his..." John 17, verse 15. Jesus is praying, and he says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And so we see in this prayer, this brief part of his prayer, that Jesus prays for the protection of believers. He prays for their sanctification. He prays for their unity. And even now, Paul tells us in Romans 8, the latter part of Romans 8, that Jesus continually intercedes for us. And so we see an example of Jesus. Not only does he pray for those who do not believe in him, but he also prays for believers. He prays for Christians and their spiritual growth. We also see this type of prayer among the apostles. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is a well-known passage to some of you. It talks about putting on the armor of God. And so Paul's talking about how we deal with issues that we face in life. We confront these issues each day that we face. And then he's talking to us about how God wants to work in us in the midst of these challenges and how we can prepare ourselves for these challenges. And as we get down to verses 18 through 20, we read that we should be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints, and also for me, he says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so Paul says that we should be praying for one another, make supplication for the saints. You need to pray for each other. And then he asks for prayer for himself. Would you pray for me that I can make it clear in the way I ought to speak, and I can take advantage of these opportunities that are given to me and boldly proclaim the gospel? And so we should be praying for those who don't know Christ, but we also should be praying for each other, that for our spiritual growth, that God would give us opportunities to minister to those around us, that we would make the most of these opportunities. And we see that example in Paul. And I wonder, just as you're thinking about prayer and people praying for one another, I wonder if you could think about somebody that's prayed for you in your life. You look back over your past, think about the person maybe that prayed for you. Maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher, a neighbor, a friend. But I wonder if someone comes to your mind, someone that you think to yourself, you know, I know God worked through that person's prayers. They were praying for me. And maybe they prayed that you would come to know Christ. Maybe they prayed for a specific need that you had. But maybe you can think of those people in your lives that you know really spoke to you and spoke to God on your behalf even. You know, I remember when I was in college, one summer for about 6 months, I lived with my grandmother in Atlanta while I was interning at a civil engineering company there. And, you know, I really enjoyed living with my grandma and, you know, talking about several different things with my grandmother. And here's the thing. When you live with somebody, you know, you find out some things about them that you just didn't know, right? Some of you that are married obviously know that. And I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, and a lot of people now are, me and Jonathan were helping some freshmen move into their freshman dorm Saturday down at Augusta University. And these rooms are very tiny. And these little rooms have like 3 or 4 people in them. They're going to learn a lot about each other over the next few weeks. And there's going to be a lot of issues that are going to be surfacing. And so I was living with my grandmother. But I will say this, it was all fine. I mean, it wasn't like my grandmother, you know, was some secret identity or anything like that, some spy or anything like that. One side of my grandmother that I saw was actually not a huge surprise, but it really captured, you know, it's been captured in my memory. My grandmother would wake up every morning before she'd get to work, and she would go sit in her favorite chair, this little recliner that she liked. And so she'd go sit in her favorite chair. She would open up her Bible. She would read her Bible, and then she'd pray for each of her children. She has 5 girls. So obviously they need a lot of prayer. 5 sisters, you know, it's just, they're all over the place. So they pray for the girls, her girls, and then she would pray for all of their children, which is a lot of us. You know, I have 4 aunts, I have lots of cousins. So she'd pray for all the children, all the grandchildren. So every morning she would lift her family up to the throne of God and entrust him with his care. And so she just modeled what it means to talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. You just saw it in her life. And you may know people like that in your own lives. And so here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. I want to challenge you to follow that example. I'm going to challenge you this week to bring people into the throne room of God by prayer, praying for those around you. And so we've looked at 2 types of prayer, praying for those who don't know Christ, praying for those who do know Christ. And so now I want to challenge you to put those types of prayer into practice this week. And so here's what I want you to do. You have this little insert in your bulletin. And I want you to hold on to this because you're going to need this week. And I want you to write on this and fill in these little blanks. And here's what I want you to do. You're under the word prayer on this insert. You see this question. Who do you know that doesn't know Christ, isn't involved in a local church, or who has recently moved to the area? So this question addresses the three categories of people that we're trying to reach through the ministry of our church. We're trying to reach people that don't know Christ. We're trying to reach people that may know Christ, but they're not involved in a local church. And we're trying to reach those who are new to the area. Okay, so those are the three groups of people we're trying to reach out to and take the gospel to and invite them in to worship with us. And so what I want you to do today is I want you to prayerfully think about three people that meet that criteria that you can begin to pray for. And I would prefer you do this today, by the end of the day, because you know what happens. If you don't do it today, we're going to be sitting here next Sunday and we're going to be moving on to the next step. And you're going to be thinking, where is that insert? I was supposed to write those names down. Totally forgot about it. And then the whole week's going to fly by. So it's going to take some intentionality. And so I want you to write three names. I already have my three. Okay. I have my three that I'm going to be praying for this week. And I want you to write those names down. Now, the next thing I want you to do is I want you to commit to pray for them every day. Now, it's probably not going to take an hour. So it might not be a sweet hour of prayer. It might be a sweet 5 minutes of prayer. But it could be sweet nonetheless, right? So every day, I want you to pray for them every day. And you may be wondering, well, Ron, okay, I can do that. But what do I pray for? I'm glad you asked that question because I want you to ask them what you could pray for them. And so here's what you can do. If you, hopefully you have some connection to the people that you're listing on this insert. And I want to give you just one way for you to approach them and ask them for prayer requests. You can say, you know, hey, Jim, you know, I've been praying for some people lately and I've been thinking of you and your family. Is there anything I can be praying for you this week? Now, you can do that face to face. You could call them up, ask them that. You can send them an email. You can text them. You can do it on social media. But the idea is saying, you know, I've just been thinking about you all. Is there anything I can pray for you this week? And see what they say. And if they give you something to pray for, then the next step is to pray every day. And so just think about when you want to do that. Maybe you could do it in the morning or over your lunch hour or whatever is a good time for you to just focus and pray for them. But I want you to write down their names and write down on the bottom here under the question, write down their prayer requests. And then you can pray for them every day. Some of you may journal, and that's fine if you want to write it down in your journal and put some more notes in there. That's fine too. Just whatever you can do to prompt a reminder that you want to pray for them every day. Put it in your phone, set an alarm, whatever helps. Then in a few days, if you see them again or you know you have a chance to contact them, you could say, you know, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for that request you gave me. How's it going? And if they say, you know, actually the prayer has been answered, then you could rejoice with them. If the prayer has not been answered, say, I'm going to keep praying for you. If it has been answered, you can ask them, was there anything else I could be praying for you? And just continue to lift them up in prayer. So now, in addition to those specific requests, I want to give you some other prayers you could be praying for them. And I have them on the back of your insert here. And you can look up these scriptures, too, that relate to these prayer requests. But you can pray that God would give them a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, that He would soften their hearts to the gospel and to God. You could pray they would come to Christ. You know, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So we need to come to Christ by faith. You can pray that God would open their hearts to believe the gospel. We see that in Acts 16:14. You can pray that God would remove Satan's blinding influence, that they would see the beauty of the gospel. And you can pray for opportunities to minister to them. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is how can we practically minister to them, bless them, help them in some way. And you can be praying for that even now. How can I minister to this person, this family, this couple, this coworker, this neighbor? You can pray for boldness, in generating and taking opportunities to speak the gospel. And we're going to be getting to that in the third week. And you can also pray they'd be willing to worship with you here at the Hill Baptist Church. You know, most people are willing to worship with you if you just invite them. And so we're going to be praying for that opportunity as well. You know, D.L. Moody once said that Christ's soldiers fight best on their knees. And so I hope you'll join me in this challenge. You know, I hope you'll just take a step of faith and seek to minister to those around you through prayer. And I hope you'll put this into practice. And I just want you to think about this for a minute. Just think about if everybody in here picked three people in our city that either they don't know Christ, they're not involved in a local church, or maybe they just moved to the area. If we all did that, we'd be praying for over 200 people this week. 200 people we'd be praying for just this week. And I think God can really use that. God uses His people when they pray. Prayer somehow, it is mysterious how it works, but somehow it accesses the power of God in the world. And so I want to encourage you to take this challenge. And I'm just, it gets encouraging to think about and exciting to think about how God could use this week of prayer even, just by carving out some time and praying for specific people. And so I'm looking forward to hearing about the people that God puts on your heart to pray for. I'm looking forward to hearing how God's going to work in your life as you begin to pray for those folks as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do, in the lives of the people as we begin to lift them up to the Lord. And so I hope you'll join me in this challenge as we begin this Prayer, Care, Share series. And to think about those three people, let's approach them, ask them for prayer requests, and let's commit to pray for them every day. And let's trust God to do a great work. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for prayer. We thank You that we can talk to You. We can lift our requests, our cares to You. And we can lift up our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members to You, God. We see examples in Scripture where people pray for those who don't know You. We see examples of people that pray for those who do know You, that they would grow in You. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to think of the three people that You would have us pray for this week. And God, would You work? Would You work mightily in their lives? Would You give us opportunities to minister to them, care for them? And would You give us an opportunity to see them just come to know Christ? Maybe we'd be able to share the gospel with them. Maybe we can invite them to come worship with us as they hear Your word. God, would You give us opportunities and would You do great things as we lift them up into Your care? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.